At the moment, we're reading from Genesis, and it is chapter 32, beginning at verse 22. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his maid and his 11 children, and crossed for the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said to him, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him, saying, "Jacob, call the place of Peniel, saying, 'I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved.'" The sun rose up upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip, the socket, and the thigh, at the thigh muscle. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. It's a really interesting story, this, and I don't know if you've sort of read it before and thought about it and thought, what I think of it. What on earth is going on? What's really happening? It's just quite incredible. It's just a bizarre story in the middle of somewhere where there's this sudden wrestling match. Like, it's not WWE, isn't it, or something like that. And it kind of just strikes me as an odd thing to put in God's word. And so, if I'm honest, and excuse the irony, I wrestled with it and thought about it and thought about what God was trying to say through it. And here's some of my questions that I asked of the text. Why is Jacob wrestling? Why does the angel not win, or we can say probably God? Why didn't they win? Because they should. What did it mean for Jacob in the end, and what does it mean for us today? And so I want to try and explore those questions and see where God takes us on that journey to see and really understand what's happening. But to really understand what is going on, we probably need to understand why Jacob is wrestling, is because we need to look at his past. We need to go back and see where Jacob is at. And so it's a nice little family shot we have here of Jacob in the background with his mother, Rebecca. And also you'll see there's another one with a bow. Never fire a bow dry, by the way, as that picture shows it. But there's a picture of Esau in the background. Esau was a man's man, if you like. He was the one that probably the father was more attracted to and liked, because he was like the eldest and he would go out and hunt food. And I'm sure Isaac, his father, enjoyed eating the food that he brought to him. And Jacob seemed to be a bit more with his mum, a little bit of a mum's boy, if you like, in whatever terminology you want to call it. And so he used to spend probably more time with his mother. And Esau grows up to be this great big hulking strong bloke, and he goes out and he hunts game and he hunts food. And I'm sure Isaac goes, "That's my boy. That's what he does. He's really good. He's good at getting all that wonderful food and bringing it home." But there were other things about Esau's life that were interesting as well. Esau was rash. He was willing to give away his blessing. And there was a little interaction between Jacob and Esau. Esau comes home and he goes, "Oh man, I could eat that." And Jacob says, "Well, okay, give me your blessings, or give me your inheritance and I'll give you the food." And Esau in his rashness goes, "Do you know what? Give it to me. I'll have it. Thank you very much. Oh, this is very good." And so you can see the sort of nature of Esau is just willing to give away things that he, he's earned without any sort of hard work or anything like that. And so he was a little bit impetuous and kind of a little bit impromptu with his dealings. And so you see the family dynamic. Jacob with his mum, Esau with his dad. And there comes a point in life when parents have to pass on their blessing to their children. And Isaac is getting old now. He's getting blind. He can't see. And so he says to Esau, go out, catch me something, and bring it back, and I'll bless you. And I'll pass the family's blessing on to you. And so Esau goes, great, I've got the blessing of God. And he goes out and he goes to get the food. So he has to go for a little while. Hunting food is not a quick thing. It's not like rushing off to Tesco's and getting a lump of meat. He had to go and find the animal, track it down, and all that. In the meantime, whilst he's gone, Rebecca comes to Jacob and says, cook a meal, use the goat, give it to your father, and take your brother's blessing. And so that's what Jacob does. He cooks it. He puts hair on his arms, pretend hair, faux fur if you like, and says, Isaac goes kind of, is that really you? Yeah, feel the hair on my arms, Dad. And he passes on the family blessing and says something along the lines of, you will get everything you need and you'll be given everything that you need. And so that's what happens. So we see that Jacob has got the blessing that Esau should have had. And he's done it by deception through his mother. And as a result, Esau comes back and you can imagine he's not happy. And being a big, strapping lad, and probably Jacob being not so big and strong, Jacob takes the flight and runs away. He runs away from his family. He leaves behind his ailing and dying dad and leaves behind his mother, probably never to be seen again, and then goes and finds a new life somewhere else. But on the way, something also weird happens in Jacob's life. He ends up having a vision. You know, you've heard of Jacob's ladder, where he has this vision of this ladder going up into heaven and people going up and down and all this sort of stuff. And it's quite a perplexing moment in the Bible. And so he has that as a dream. And God says something along the lines of, I'll bless you, like the same promise of his grandfather, Abraham. There'll be as many people in your nation as there are stars in the sky, that sort of idea. And so there's another kind of blessing that comes to Jacob there. But then he goes to the land. He meets his father-in-law, Laban, or his future father-in-law, I should say, and he settles there for a little while, and they work out together. He first marries Leah through deception of his father-in-law, now, because he loved the other daughter, Rachel, and wanted to marry her, and he was deceived into marrying Leah first. And so he had to work for so long, and then he had to work for longer so he could marry both Leah and Rachel. And so this goes on, and Laban keeps him, and he doesn't treat him like a son-in-law. He treats him more like a convenient servant. And so Jacob deceives his father-in-law by changing the color of goats because that was the deal they'd made. And, of course, the father-in-law finds out, and what does Jacob do? He runs away again. And he goes and he runs away from his father-in-law, frightened. They meet again. They make a pact. They leave his friends and they put a pile of rocks to remember that by. So that's kind of Jacob again. And now we come up to the point where Esau is just outside. He's coming. Jacob turns and he wants to run again. He wants to run from his brother, and because he's fearful of what's going to happen, because his brother is, he remembers him, angry and disappointed with what Jacob has done. So that's kind of the background, the context. And if I wanted to sum up that story of Jacob to this point, it is Jacob runs away again and again and again. He is blessed and he runs. That seems to be the history of Jacob's life up until this point. Now he's about to confront his past, his brother, who's probably, he's imagining, is really, really angry and going to probably kill him. And he's already sent gifts ahead to try and soften him up so he doesn't. And that's what Jacob's feeling right now. He's worried about what he's going to be confronted with. And so we see this story unfold of Jacob wrestling with God. And there's the first question. Why is it that Jacob has to wrestle with God? I believe because all before, he hadn't wrestled for what he had got and blessing. He hadn't been through the tough times and really worked through them in himself. He was kind of just left open, and he hadn't completed his kind of grief, if you like, or his difficulties, and he hadn't fully wrestled with the situation. This time now, he is wrestling with God, and he wrestles not for 2 hours or 3 hours. This is overnight. he wrestles, and he's struggling with him, and he's struggling with God, and he's really, and he gets injured, and scar tissue is there as a result. And so we see that image of Jacob wrestling all night. But what happens at the end is he receives the blessing of God in that wrestling. And I think this time it's not just a frivolous blessing that he somehow deceived and got by deception, but rather a blessing that he has received through the grace and gift of God. You see, as I said before, the angel could have destroyed Jacob. If I go up in a wrestling match with God, I know who comes off second best, and every time. God is gracious in this moment and allows him to wrestle all night. And what I would say to you is God is gracious with us too in our wrestling, that he doesn't overwhelm us with what we can face. The Bible says that there is a promise that God will never, ever give us more than we can handle. So I want to really encourage those people that are wrestling today, because I know there are people wrestling in this room with various things, various parts of their life, that actually God is still with you. God is gracious with you. He won't give you too much. Just hang in there. Trust God in that difficult situation. And so we see that Jacob is blessed. And as a result of that blessing, he goes out, he meets his brother Esau, and it is a wonderful family reunion. It's not a sense of nastiness. He is welcomed back, and the brother is absolutely delighted to see him. And I wonder then, thinking about the other blessing that Jacob received, that whole thing of the vision of the Jacob's ladder, and what has that got to do with Jacob? Where is he in all of this picture? And I think it's this. Jacob's is changed, name is changed to what? Israel. And so through Israel's lineage and through Israel's line, who do we see emerge out of Israel that is so significant that the history books have got a date based around him? Jesus. Jesus comes from Israel. And I wonder if we see the Jacob's ladder, that this has significance, that this is pointing towards another truth. And I want to bring us to another point of struggle as well. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, was praying to God. He was struggling with what he was about to do. In a way, he went back to God three times and said, if you can take this away from me, please do. His friends couldn't even stay up with him and keep beside him. He was lonely, isolated, and by himself, and feeling desperate. Whenever you are going through difficult times and you are wrestling, please know that God knows where you're at. He's been there with you. He walks the walk. He doesn't just talk the talk and say it. He walks with us in that, and we see it in Jesus' wrestling with his true identity as he comes up to be crucified for our sins. And what I want you to see in that image of Jacob's ladder is that this is the cross of Christ. If the ladder allows us access to heaven, it is Christ's grace and Christ's mercy that allows us to access heaven. Through Christ, we have the full access of heaven. We are allowed to be called sons and daughters of the living God. We are family through Christ. The blessing of Jacob is not just for Israel, but it's for us here today through the blessing of Christ. And so I wonder if you can imagine that Jacob's ladder. It's pointing to the truth of the cross, and we need to really understand that. So for us, blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose help is the Lord their God. Jacob's God is the same God today, yesterday, and tomorrow. And the so what comes out of this. What does it mean for us today? If Jacob has been wrestling all this time, and he's been this night, and he's been struggling, I want to encourage you with these words. We can find blessing in our struggles, but sometimes we have to be persistent. Sometimes life is tough, and I'm not going to pretend it's not. Sometimes there are times in our life where we really are coming to terms with what's going on around us, and we might just go, what are you doing, God? That's okay. Can I encourage you to do that? Because God's big enough and graceful enough to deal with that. But don't give up there. Keep wrestling through the night with God. Keep trusting God. Keep wrestling. Keep going. Don't stop. Because if you stop at that bit, you won't see the blessing at the end. You won't see what God's blessing is. And if you want an example of that, I'll share my personal example. It is a frivolous example, by the way. It's not as serious as some of the other people that I've talked to and some of the things that they're going through, but it just helps you to understand how it kind of works in God's economy. I was, obviously, I'm a, I'm a vicar now. But we have to go through a thing called a selection process, and that takes a number of days and weeks and months, and in my case it was 2 years. And I came to the end of that 2 years of the selection process to a thing in my day called a BAP. And that BAP was called Bishop's Advisory Panel, and you spend a weekend effectively there, and so you spend a couple of nights. And it's with about three quite serious interviews that you have, plus a presentation, all these other things that were going on. And my first interview was on the first day, and it was with the education person. So you had three areas where you had to look at. This particular time was education. And I went to him, and he was a psychotherapist, and he was quite an interesting bloke, and the way he spoke to me, and he lost his pen, and he's looking around for it, and he's going, "Now just carry on talking." And I'm going, "Is this some sort of weird psychological test of something that's going on? He's just seeing how I can cope with the distraction of him going over there." And it kind of put me off a little bit, if I'm honest. I've probably got a little bit of ADHD there, you know, because I'm trying to work out, well, where's the pen? I don't know. It's over there, and I can't have a conversation. And as a result, I thought I completely and utterly had fluffed that interview. I thought, that was it. There was no chance I was ever going to be a vicar. Nobody ever want me after some of the answers I'd given then. Surely not. And I remember going to bed that night and wrestling with God over it. And it was going, the conversation was in my head through prayer, and it was going something like this: God, why have you put me through 2 years of this to get me here to fail me at the last hurdle? What is your purpose in this? This is just bonkers. Why have you wasted my time, Louise's time, my energy, to say no now? Surely you could have done that earlier if that's the case. And this was something that went on, internal dialogue that went on all night. I didn't sleep a wink at all. I couldn't sleep. All I could think about how much I fluffed up. And there were two things that happened for me. The first thing is, I realized how important it was and how much I felt God calling me into ministry. And the second thing is this, as I was wrestling with it and I came to the morning, something quite amazing happened that completely changed my attitude for the rest of the time there. God said to me in the eternal dialogue, he said, "Look, Cain, I sent my son to die on the cross for you. Don't you think I know what's best for you?" And that was the blessing. It wasn't that I was to become a vicar. That's a blessing in itself in different ways. But actually the real blessing was for me to know that I am a child of God, truly and absolutely and utterly. And he was willing to die for me to show his love for me. Suddenly, I don't need to worry about proving myself to anybody else because God has made me worthy through him. My wrestling came out with that blessing. I wonder when people are struggling, they're going to be finding different blessings, but I think the key message that we find is you are children of God. You are loved by God. You are precious in his sight. Hold on to that in those strugglings, but don't stop. Keep going. Keep going time and time again. Come back to God and trust him because he will get us through. I know there are many people here that will be going through things, and certainly if you are, please do feel free to stop and we can pray for you and ask God to help you through those times. We are certainly open for prayer. But as this year of preparation comes, one of the things I want to have is a church that is secure in God's love. Secure in what he has done for them, knowing that you are children of God. Once you have that security, that baseline, anything else is possible on top of it. But we need to have that. And sometimes that has to come through wrestling. If you are, please ask people to pray for you. Please do talk to others. But certainly keep on going, because God will bless you in the end. Amen. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we know that we have many, many issues, and sometimes we've run away from things, and we're sorry for that. But Lord, we trust that you will bring us back to you, that you will allow us and be graceful with us and gentle with us in our times of vulnerability. But Father, it doesn't mean that we don't wrestle with these things, that we don't struggle. Help us, Heavenly Father, to see the blessing that you bring. Help us to trust you, to know that you will give us everything we need. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.